Welcome to the official podcast of PHP Architect. Join us to listen to the latest news and tech talk from our conferences, the magazine, and wider PHP community.
As the nice lady mentioned, you're listening to the official podcast of PHP Architect. This is episode 2025.05.01, and I'm one of your hosts, Eric Van Johnson, and with me, as always, is John Congdon.
That's me.
This podcast focuses on all things PHP and web development. We also touch on the larger PHP community and general life of being a developer. And of course, we're going to talk about our company, PHP Architect, the magazine, and our quickly approaching conference. We record every Thursday, typically around 3 p.m. Pacific time, but who knows what that's going to look like in the immediate future. We'll talk about that in a little bit. This podcast is made a little better thanks to our partners over at Honey Badger. Honey Badger helps you deploy with confidence and be your team's DevOps hero by combining error, uptime, and performance monitoring in one simple platform. It's free to get started and set up takes just a few minutes. Be the hero your team needs. Suit up at honeybadger.io. More on Honey Badger a little later. If you don't watch the live stream and only listen to the audio version, we would love for you to join us live and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/phparch and get notifications when the stream starts. You may be asking yourself, but why do I want to watch live, Eric? Well, John, the answer is pretty simple. First, your best shot is seeing nudity. I mean, that's always on the table. That's always possible. You never know when that might happen. But more importantly, you can be part of the show.
That gets cut out of the audio, for sure.
They're usually short clips anyways. Cut it out! You stop it! But more importantly, you can be part of the show by joining us in our Discord at discord.phparch.com, and you can just talk to us during the show and be part of the actual show as it's happening. That's it. Let's get the show started.
That's it.
Duck Nizzle. Happy Thursday.
I agree.
Supernova in the house. How's it going, John? Why are we here? Why are we here at 2 p.m.? My scotch isn't even warm yet.
The same reason we weren't here last week. Baseball just has taken over my life. And I don't know why we didn't record early last week. Jeez, years, weeks, months are all blending together as tech is approaching. So yeah, I have a baseball game coming up 5 p.m. my time zone. So just a few hours from now. I am a crazy guy. I get there. My team's supposed to be there an hour early. I like to get there an hour and a half early to set up the field, do any sort of maintenance that needs to be done, because I don't trust other people to do it. So, yes, that is me.
I'm going to tell you a story, John. And maybe this will make you feel better about the person you are. You never know when you might have an impact on somebody. And that story kind of reminded me of something. Not you specifically, John, because let's be real. But you never know who's watching you. And the things that you do matter. And you can have an impact on somebody. One of my best memories of my dad, who I miss every day. He passed away a few years ago. I remember when I was just starting off playing baseball, and we didn't know how Little League worked or anything. It definitely was not nearly as organized as it is here in Southern California, but just organized in general. And I remember my first game. So we've been practicing, you know, you practice and play your games on the same field, right? It's, you know, And I remember my first day waking up and my dad not being home. And I asked my mom, I'm like, hey, where's dad? Is he going to be at the game? He's like, oh, yeah, he's already at the field. I'm like, why is he at the field? My dad had gone to the field like 3 hours before game time with a rake, one rake, a simple rake. and started raking the entire field because our field was trash. I mean, it was absolute trash. There were like rocks and boulders all over the place, and kids had been getting busted in the face all week in practice. This man by himself went to that field and raked that field by hand, had these massive blisters on his hands by the time the game started, and just really stuck with me. As a child, it made an impact, and it was one of those things where I always thought to myself, that's the dad I want to be. Like, I want my kids to have some sort of memory of me that I don't think it was a big deal, but, you know, it made an impression on them. That didn't happen. Not my memory. So.
There's still time. Yes. You still have a chance.
So I say that to say, I get it, man. It's crazy. You know, what you do for your kids is, I wasn't a big, I have to have a kid sort of person until I had my kids. And then I couldn't imagine what my life would have been without them. Like, definitely. And, you know, I don't want to say as fulfilling, because people don't have kids and have very fulfilling lives. It right. just not have been fulfilled the way
it would have been different.
Imagined being. Yeah.
Yeah. Just yeah. would have been different.
Yeah. I feel like there would have been a lot more alcohol involved in my life. If I didn't have kids. Take that for what it's worth. Well, good, okay. bad. Who wait, knows? Wait.
There would have been a lot more alcohol and a lot more money.
Yes. Yeah. So, but
a lot more travel or something. The money would have
gone. Before we get started, I do have to say happy birthday to my wonderful wife, who turned, I think, what, 34, 35 today? I'm not sure.
Happy birthday, Eric's soon not current wife. Yeah, that's it. Couldn't figure out what it was.
See, people don't get that. I haven't been using that joke here. Yes, and actually, Beck asked me about it. She's like, why do you not do that anymore? I'm like, that was for the other show. I don't know, but yeah.
You could
for those okay. that don't know, I had a long-running joke. And it was a joke I had in life. And then on our other podcast, it just became like part of a character on the show. Where when I was talking about my wife, depending on when I was talking about, so like if it was something that happened years ago or something that happened currently, if it happened years ago, I would refer to her as my wife at the time. And if it was something that was happening currently, I would say my current wife. And the joke being, it's always been the same person.
Since you were kids.
Yeah. And it was fun because Beck was like at Tech a couple of years for the last couple of years. It was like, oh, you're the current wife. She just loved it. She loved
and,
you know, having.
And she took it. She took it on in Discord and became Shokum's current wife.
Right? That's true. That is her Discord. I think it's still her Discord handle. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was fun. I debate whether to, you know, keep going on that, but I don't know. It just didn't feel right, you know?
Well, you said you did it outside the show too, right?
Yeah. It's been a long running joke in the family for a while, but it definitely came up a lot less then. Like it had to be like the right situation for me to do it.
Right.
Whereas, you know, during the show, it just like was a weekly thing. It was a weekly bit. So. Speaking of Tech, holy smokes, man.
I know. Do you have the countdown ready to show?
I can do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, matter of fact, I got something even better to show along
with this. Is this part of the nudes part?
The nudes part?
Nudes.
Nudes?
You said I got something better to show.
So if you go to phptech.tv.
Oh yeah.
We have a countdown and we have our show streaming on there now. So I had disabled that a while back. I forget why. We put up a talk from Ben last year, his keynote. I think Ben Ramsey did a keynote last year and we had that running up there. So anyways,
when the show is not streaming, you have the new video bumper that we have going.
The new little bumper, which is also on phptech.io. I just have it as a look through a transparent video over the skyline that we've had up there for forever.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have the countdown there too.
18 days. Ugh.
What Yikes. Were we thinking?
Are we ready?
No.
No. We're never ready for it, but we're excited about it and hope you're going to be there with us. If you're not, let me know why.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll need a note from your doctor if you're not there.
Yeah,
that is very important. Oh shoot! I just closed my browser tab that I was sharing. Damn it! I hate when to do that.
You screwed that up.
Yeah,
I had one of the going back to baseball. I wanted to share. I had one of the hardest conversations at my game Tuesday night. It wasn't hard. I mean, I've been telling the kids, I want everyone to pitch, but, you know, in the spirit of the team, if I pull you, don't take offense. Maybe you're just having an off day. You know, I might swap somebody else in. And I did it for the first pitcher. Again, not one of our main pitchers, but I could see, like, he was struggling, but I went out, talked to him. I gave him a second chance, you know, to keep going. But then I'm watching it. He's just, his face is red. He's barely making the ball to the plate at this point. So I take him out, put in the next pitcher. No big deal. A couple innings later, another kid that doesn't normally pitch for us, I'm giving him a shot. He's pitching. And then I go out and I talk to him. And I'd say, hey, I'm going to swap you out. And he looks at me and goes, why? I felt so bad. It's like, for the good of the team. I said, it's just time. I'm going to bring in the next pitcher to, you know, let them start warming up for the next inning. Oh, okay. And he walked off. But it's heartbreaking. It's like, I don't want to pull anybody, but
see,
the team wants to win. Like,
listen, don't be a bitch. Just give me the ball. Walk away. to what, an 8-year-old kid?
It's 10. 10 years.
Oh, jeez.
We're in the 9-10-year-old, yeah.
So. I came to a realization. I think I was approaching this realization a few years back, then I had forgotten about it again. But I posted on my socials about how long we've been doing this, basically. Mm-hmm. And the thing that had started the post is, in my memories, a photo of my last day at my previous, actually two previous jobs ago, the last job I had for a long time, which up until that point was the longest I had ever worked at one place. And I'm counting my, not only the time I worked there as a full-time employee, but the few years I did contract work with them as well.
Hmm.
So I think all in, I was around 9 or 10 years. And I came to the realization, shit, I have been working for myself longer than I've ever worked for somebody else. And I've had some long runs. I had that one that was, like I said, about 10 years. The place I was at before that, I was at for like 6 years, which was a totally different profession, totally different field of work.
Was that the water purification?
Water purification, yeah.
Mm.
And again, that was weird because the company was bought and sold like 3 times in the time that I worked there. But I'm like, yeah, it's kind of the same thing we have here. I was like, well, you know, how long have you been, you know, the owner of PHP Architect? I'm like, well, okay, technically a couple of years, but like the business we owned before then, we merged the same business. Like, so like it's, you know, I've owned the company I've worked at for over 10 years now.
13 years, for crying out loud.
It was kind of the same thing. Well, how long have you worked at this company? Well, okay, technically a couple months, but like, I have not changed jobs.
Like, you know. I saw that post. I think I reacted to it on Facebook.
Yeah.
But it was interesting seeing, one, the picture of you from way back then. And then just you sharing the story, it made me proud. Like,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yep. PHP has definitely been a huge part of that for sure. Not only you, obviously, but just the people I've made friends with, like what I would consider a group of friends today are completely different than what they were before I started doing this. I mean, don't get me wrong. I still have people I hold very dear, to my heart. Matter of fact, I go visit the one guy up in Washington State. I got a couple other people who are just very important to me who it was less of the fact that we worked together, more of they were mentor figures to me when I was younger and really kind of helped me mature as a person, as a dad. They really helped me with those things. But
can I interrupt with some breaking news?
Absolutely.
We just got an agreement for another sponsor for PHP Tech.
What?
Yeah.
Is this what we were talking about earlier?
It's one that is going on in Slack right now, but obviously we can't talk about it until contracts sent and
money is received.
Money received. But literally as we're talking, we got another sponsor, so that is nice.
Oh, this is an interesting one too. Yeah, we did talk about this one earlier, didn't we?
Yeah.
I don't want to accidentally share my screen or anything, but okay. Yeah, cool. All right, that's fun. Happy to hear that. Yeah, and if you, it's going to be fun. We're going to have a whole team there. Not only are we going to have a whole team at Tech this year, which we typically do anyways, but this year it's even a little bigger. But your wife will be there, right? Who's works for us, does the layout for the magazine and all that, right?
Yep. Sorry,
And some new faces. Well, yeah, new faces and a couple of new positions. So basically what I'm saying is our team will be bigger this year, which is always fun. So happy about that. You seem distracted, John.
Yes, I'm very upset right now. And
oh, dear.
It's not for the show.
Okay. All right. Well, let me go ahead and let me talk about this for a quick moment. So, like I said, PHP has been very, very good to me. I've been very happy with PHP, but I have ventured down other aisles before, and this came up. So we're setting up our meetup for the following week, which is exciting. We're going to be doing a talk. One of our presenters, Kenrick, will be doing a talk on Prism, which is a project, AI project that TJ Miller's working on, done a lot of great stuff. Matter of fact, TJ will be talking about Prism at Tech. So that'll be fun. But when I was at my previous IT gig, or two IT gigs, there was a quick job between the two big jobs. I'm sorry. I always forget about them. But my last big gig that we were talking about, I wasn't a developer. That wasn't my official title. My official title was, I don't actually know, SysOps, I guess would be the title. I managed the servers and stuff for the web group. And so I worked with a lot of developers back then. And when they were talking about web technologies, I started pushing the idea of PHP because it was the one language I knew. But like back then, we're talking about PHP 4 days. PHP didn't have a great reputation. Nobody wanted to use it. Everybody's like, oh yeah, that's a dying language. Nobody cares about it. And a little fragment of developers got really big on Ruby, specifically Rails, Ruby on Rails. So as we started, curating the idea of using Ruby on Rails, we engaged like the community around us because that's what we do. And I remember one of the developers came to me and said, hey, he's like, there's some guys over the La Jolla area, which is, if you know San Diego, it's like where University of California, San Diego, UCSD is at, because these people went to UCSD. They're like, they're going to start a meetup around Ruby. And they're going to talk. Yeah, there's a lot of Rails talk there. Are you interested in going? I'm like, yeah, I'll go. So I went to the first meetup for this group, and I got a notification today that, hey, we haven't seen you at a Ruby meetup in a while. We're celebrating our 20th anniversary. I'm like, wait a minute, what? It couldn't have been 20 years ago. I'm like, yeah, I guess it could have been. So yeah, they're doing 20
that's
years.
Tonight.
Yeah. I'm here doing this instead, though, just so you know.
Oh, you know, thank you.
You're welcome.
You don't want to go and give them props for making you who you are today.
Yeah. Tell them a big sob story about how they helped me. Yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. But yeah, I thought that was cool. I thought it was cool to see that.
How many attendees do they have? Oh, probably way more than we do for our meetup group.
Oh, I'm curious.
Oh, exactly the same. Look at that.
I was going to say, actually, yeah, they're on par with us. Oh, what's that? Why did that pop up? What? Okay,
don't you want to join for $3 a month?
Wait, where is the exit button here?
Your options are try it or try it.
You're not doing anything until you do this. So this is our meetup. Right here. This is what we'll be talking about next week, or what our friend Kenrick will be talking about next week. Like I said, he made the artwork as well, which is some sort of fever dream LSD induced. I don't know what happened here. He's had a lot of time on his hands lately, so who knows what this guy's up to. But yeah. Fun stuff. That's actually, I finally figured it out. The face is Weird Al Yankovic. Like, I kept looking at the face because you know who it is, right? And I'm like, this does not look like Kenrick. Like, how is this Kenrick? And then I started seeing the hair. I'm like, wait a minute, that's Weird Al Yankovic. Yeah. and that's what he says. It's Weird AI. And I get it. Weird Al. Oh. Dun-dun-dun. So.
Got it.
Yeah, so if you're in the San Diego area, you want to learn about Olama and Prism, come hang out with us.
Luckily, my kids don't listen to our show, and they're not hearing because I got them tickets to go see a Weird Al concert in August, I believe.
That is such an odd thing to buy tickets for a kid. Are they fans of Weird Al?
They're constantly playing it. It's either Weird Al or Hamilton on my speakers around the house all day, every day.
Is Weird Al still making music?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he's still making it, but he's still on tour, so we're going to see him.
That's awesome. I feel like that would be a fun show to catch.
Yeah. So I'm trying to figure out when I'm going to give it to him because their birthdays are June and July, and it's like, do I just go like right in between and say, happy birthday, late to you and early to you.
That would be fun. Cool, man. Let me know how that goes. Let me guess. You won't be able to record that day.
Probably not. Hey, remember back in the day when we used to have fun and play racquetball?
Until I beat you and then you stopped ever playing me again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I rejoined that club if you are ever interested in playing again.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I could definitely do that. We were just getting ready to cancel. Wait, which club was that?
LA.
Oh, it was LA? Okay, yeah. We were actually just considering canceling ours because the kids don't live with us anymore, and they initially had gotten other memberships, but now it turns out that didn't work out. So I think we're going to hold on to our membership. So yeah, that might
Even if you don't have one, I can bring a guest every time. Yeah. So you could just join.
That used to be. So John and I had an office brief for about a year, for 2 years, I think. Was it
2 years? Yeah. 2 years.
Yeah. For the Diego Dev Group. So it was John and I, and we had like this, all these desks for any developer who wanted a place to work, right? We didn't make people come into the office. It was completely optional when they'd come in.
But it was nice when they did.
Huh?
It was nice when they were there. Like
it felt like a lot more got to come. I hate to say that. Like as a group that's all remote, it definitely felt like a lot got accomplished those days that everybody showed up. But there was a gym by the office, and John and I would play racquetball. He you know, run me ragged. I mean, it was pretty sad. I would pay him back though by hitting him with the ball as frequently as I could.
So I started playing with a friend I bowled with, and yeah, we go and he beats me 11-0, 11-2, like just kicks my ass, and it's embarrassing, but it's been fun.
Yeah, and I actually hit him with the ball a few times. It makes you feel better.
I actually took my son for the first time last night, and he really enjoyed it. And he's like, "Can we go again?" I'm like, "Well, not tomorrow night. I got baseball. Not the following night. I got other plans." But yes, we will go for sure.
I do love racquetball, and I'm telling you, like, this was no pickleball thing. Like, John and I would like be gasping by the time we were done, and we usually played a couple of games. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't just one and done. We played for about an hour typically. I remember just being beat. It was that good beat too. Like, yeah. Oh, that felt good.
Yep. So we'll have to do that.
Yeah, for sure. And feel free to jump in at any time and let me know if I'm wrong about any of this.
Of course.
Poor John.
You know I'm good at it.
No, you're good. You're good. You're right. I can't believe we're already 30 minutes into the show. Okay. John pointed out we haven't done Honey Badger yet. So let's hear from our good friends at Honey Badger. Which ad do we want to go with? I haven't done mine in a while. I'll do mine.
And now it's story time with Archie, brought to you by our sponsor, HoneyBadger.io. One time, a customer of Honey Badger's had their background job run overnight and caused hundreds of thousands of errors to be reported to Honey Badger by mistake. Like many other error tracking and performance monitoring tools, Honey Badger bills for monthly usage, and so the customer's mistake was going to cost them a lot of money that month. If you've ever used a monitoring service, you might have experienced something like this. Well, fortunately for this customer, they emailed Honey Badger support and received the most amazing reply. Honey Badger was resetting their monthly quota and canceling the bill. This is just one example of how much the small team at Honey Badger cares about their users. Ask anyone you know and you'll hear similar stories. Go check them out at honeybadger.io. It's free to get started and setup takes less than 5 minutes. Don't forget to bookmark it. That's www.honeybadger.io.
Thank you.
Thank you, Honey Badger. Be nice if you sponsored tech with one. Every now and then. I'm just saying, just putting it out there. If you ever wanted to sponsor tech, we'd give you a good deal. Okay, yeah, feel free to let me know if I'm getting any of this wrong. But a little fun fact about PHP Architect. The group that we took PHP Architect over from were the Three Musketeers. And one of the people in that group, Eli, one of his, like, big things, I don't want to say it was his big thing, because I don't know what the guy's done professionally, but the thing I knew him from, and I think a lot of people who knew of this would be what they knew him from, and a lot of people who might not have known he was involved with this, but one of the things he did is he helped build a little website from back in the day called dig.com. And dig.com went on to be like this powerhouse of tech. Mm-hmm. It was just like they hit the iron hot. Like it was like the perfect time where sites like slash.com, which was the inspiration. What was his name? Kevin Rose?
Kevin Rose. Yep.
Yeah. Kevin Rose. Yeah. Was the inspiration Kevin Rose had to creating dig.com, which was this user driven, user submitted website for, you know, tech news and talk. I mean, it's commonplace now, right? But there was no Twitter back then. There was no Facebook. Like, the idea that you giving users the ability to publish the stories on your website and then decide which ones they like and didn't like was very unusual. And they also, like, had a just massive podcast back in the day called Dig Nation and all that. And then I don't know what happened. I know they sold, and, you know, other, you know, people came in, and of course it kind of died on the vine, I always thought. But as it turns out, it is being rebooted apparently. So if you're a Dig person from back in the day, and I'm really curious what they bring to the table to now. But if you were a dig person back in the day, you might want to give this a look. I'm already not feeling great about this because, like, you can claim your username, but I think there's, like, a charge to it. Like, you have to pay to get a username. I believe that's what I had read. I guess we could look at that real fast. Yeah. Yeah, there's a $5 charge to reserve a username, which already is kind of like, what? But
it's a tiny one-time $5 barrier.
Tiny. I just don't know why. Like, there's so many sites out there that do that now. Like, I just don't know what they're going to be bringing to the table where it's like, oh, yeah, this is worth, you know, getting into again. But I just thought it was cool because I like talking about the fact that Eli built one of the first versions of Dig, the first kind of popular version that did a lot of stuff. But yeah, so it's out there. Reboot.dig.com. What happens if you just go to dig.com? Does it just
it takes you there because that's what I did.
Okay. Yeah. Dig.com. Man, this used to be, this was like one of those sites where every day I would go and see what was.
And then the Dig Nation podcast, and was just, I was hooked on it. I watched it all the time.
Yeah. 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 I mean, yeah. Like I said, right people, right time.
We're so old.
We are. We really are. All right. What else we got to talk about, man?
All my stuff is personal. I don't have any good coding stuff.
Well, give us something personal to talk about.
I started looking at, I forget what turned me on to it. I think I saw an ad for one of those calendar displays, and I decided I wanted to look it up. And it's like, I don't want to spend $600 on this, but I also think it's pretty cool. So then I found this video, Digital Family Calendar on a Budget. And give the guy a break. It's a little slow, but he does a good job of walking through building a little DIY family calendar using a Pi, using this software called DAC board, D-A-K board, and then building a little shadow box for a TV and then mounting it on a wall. But when he gets to talking about the electrical stuff, oh my gosh, you could tell he's terrified to talk about it because he's like three or four times, like, if you don't know how to work with electricity, hire a professional. And it's just like, okay, you said that seven times now. Just let it go. Like, for some reason, that one part of this video just drove me crazy because it was just, so slow.
A DAC board. So are you doing this?
I think that might be, I've got a couple of summer projects I want to do with my kids. And that is one of them where, you know, I've got an extra monitor laying around. I've got an extra Pi laying around. Maybe we build it because right now it's, my wife probably won't want to because she likes having the whiteboard she can write on.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's the 21st century. It's already in our calendars. We don't have to rewrite it onto a whiteboard every day. I mean, yes, people will write stuff on there too, but I'll create their own calendar. Let teach them how to use a calendar on like a Google calendar for crying out loud. And then they can see it up on the screen. Like, oh, I got to go feed my turtle today. Go do it.
Yeah. Beck's the same way. She's so funny because, and I love her dearly. And once again, happy birthday to her. But she still does like lists. Like I've tried to like get her in, you know, to do this or, just like, you know, why are you doing it this way? Just put it in your phone. You know, all the phones have these note-taking apps now. I mean, not even doing anything fancy like to do this. And no, that's just not how some people work. And did you see my, speaking of which, this wasn't my wife. Did you see what I said about my mom yesterday?
Mm-mm.
On my socials? So my mom, and like I said, I'll give the woman credit that she tries to use technology and she's just really, really bad at it. And I needed something from her. My mom went through the trouble of typing this up on her computer. She then prints it out and realizes, oh, I made a mistake, takes a pen, corrects the mistake, scans it in, and sends, emails me the scanned image. I'm like, I just don't know what to do here. I really don't know what to do here.
Yeah, oh, that's great.
Person. Yeah. But yeah, much like your wife, we have the board in our kitchen. Even my wife, who works from home in kind of an IT sort of environment where they're this virtual radiology group to track everything that's going on. We talked about our office. She has one of the old desks from our office where she takes an erasable Sharpie and just writes on her desk all day. Like, she loves it. See, I think that's her favorite thing about that desk, is because I'm always telling her, like, the desk is too small. Like, you should get a bigger desk. And she's like, no, I can write on this one. Like, you got me there.
You can put down a little whiteboard laminate on any desk, actually.
Yeah. So yeah,
I guess a piece of glass.
Some people think.
Yeah.
All right, I found a fun site. I think this is yours. What is this? What is this video? Yeah, that's all yours. How did I end up in my board?
What video are you talking about?
That first one on my list. That's you.
Oh, okay. That's the same one that I already shared.
Yeah, I figured. So I don't remember how I came across this, to be completely honest with you. But I came across a website where I'm like, what is wrong with people? Why do people do this? And I'm like, yeah, you know what? This is actually kind of cool. I'm not even mad about it anymore. There's a website out there that tracks how dead a tech is. So it could be like a language. So obviously they have all the languages, PHP, Rust, and all that. And then there's a lot of packages on here. Matter of fact, if you look at this October CMS is a Laravel CMS package that I used to use back in the day. You see Cake down here too, Cake PHP, which was the framework I was doing a lot of. But yeah, if you have Silverlight. So it's kind of cool what it does. It looks at how often that technology is being talked about on various platforms, what the repos look like for that platform. And then it just kind of figures, like, it does this like guesstimation of, okay, how dead is this technology now? And I don't know, man.
Remember Vagrant? That's endangered. But it gets worse. If you go to page 3, the one right next to Vagrant.
Oh, wait, what do you, I was going to PHP. Wait, what page 3? Oh, wait, what? Where did, I went to here. So.
Yeah.
2, 3.
You got Vagrant.
Oh, ho.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. It's 55%. So, and a lot of this is just like a lot of what it's talking about. Like, I think these are the better metrics. GitHub and Stack Overflow, which this score in Stack Overflow isn't great, but you know, a lot of this stuff is like when tech isn't new anymore, people just stop talking about it, right? So it's just like, you know, not so many. So let's see what Laravel is, just since we're here.
PHP is more stable than Laravel.
No, I don't think so. Is it? Laravel's 32%. That's pretty damn stable. What was PHP?
I thought that higher the number, the closer it is to endangered.
Yeah.
PHP is
You're right. PHP is lower. Oh, look at that. Nice. All right. Well, that is good. Yeah. So this is fun. See Symfony. What's Symfony? Since we're here, let's see Symfony. They're all doing good. All the PHP stuff is doing pretty good. Like I said, Laravel's doing pretty good. Cake wasn't. We saw Cake wasn't doing well. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not even mad about it. I think it's fun. So this is a fun little site to go to. It's isthistechdead.com, and we'll put it in the show notes for if you are listening to the audio podcast and want to come back and look at this later. But it's a little fun site. I like sites that do that aggregate information across several platforms, then, you know, kind of puts it all together. So, yeah.
Interesting. So it is very interesting. It's fun to poke around.
So I just talked about Dig and how you had to pay like $5 to reserve a username. And this is kind of more in line with what X does, but Blue Sky, who was founded by Jack Dorsey, yeah. The guy who created Twitter, supposedly Blue Sky. My understanding of the story is Blue Sky was the next iteration of Twitter. And when Elon bought Twitter, Jack negotiated to allow him to have the code base for Blue Sky. And they're like, yeah, you can take it. And so he took it and created Blue Sky. I forget what it was called back then. And the one thing I always thought was cool about Blue Sky, Blue Sky app. Let me open this up real fast. The one thing I thought Blue Sky did well first was that if you own a domain, so verified accounts is always a big deal, right? I mean, the blue check mark on Twitter, everybody loved. And Blue Sky...
loved until Elon made a joke out of it.
Oh, that's true. Until you could actually just buy a blue check mark. With Blue Sky, they kind of... what I thought was a very creative, different approach, which is if you own a domain, you can actually have that domain be your username in Blue Sky. So on Blue Sky, the PHP Architect handle is phparch.com. That's the handle for PHP Architect. I'm like, hey, I got to update that banner. I'm like, hey, you know, that actually makes sense. Like, that feels like it's even more valid than the blue check mark. Like, I don't really feel like there's a need for a blue check mark if you can show your identity by linking it to a domain, right?
Did they make you do anything with DNS to prove you own the domain?
Yeah. You have to create a text file, okay. A text entry for that. So I thought that was cool. And that's the whole thing, right? It verifies it through DNS. So it tells you to input something into your DNS, and then it does its lookup in DNS and sees that stuff is there and lets you have that domain. So I thought that was cool. I still think it's a very solid way of kind of being verified on a platform. But they're also bringing verified check marks. I got to be honest, I haven't even looked into this because I don't care. I don't think I care. But yeah. So if you don't have a domain or you don't want to use a domain and you want to use, like, maybe your handle is part of your brand and you want to use your handle, there's a way you can get verified checkmark from Blue Sky now. I don't know. I think the whole verified checkmark, like you said, I think that well got poisoned and nobody cares about it nearly as much as they used to.
If it's done right, like, maybe they shouldn't have used the blue check mark because of that. Maybe they should have found some other method to do this.
Yeah.
So I think what if I'm reading this right, because we have the domain name, are we already Blue Sky verified?
And no, then, I mean, we don't have a check mark anywhere.
No, but so their example is, the New York Times can make their journalist trusted a verified account.
See, I should have read this because I honestly stopped caring. I just thought it would be something good to talk about, but that's an interesting spin on this. Oh, yeah.
Or organizations that can directly issue blue checks. Trusted verifiers are marked by scalloped blue checks as shown below, that being the New York Times. And New York Times can now issue blue checks to its journalists directly in the app.
So that's the difference between the trusted verified and the verified account.
How
interesting.
how to get verified on Blue Sky. You can self-verify by setting your domain as your username. We highly encourage official organizations and individuals to do this. During this initial phase, Blue Sky is not accepting direct applications for verification. So we as PHP architects should be able to verify ourselves.
I just found out recently you were on Blue Sky. I didn't even know you were on Blue Sky, man.
Well, I'm on there. I don't do anything on there because I thought it was going to be a flyby night. Like, it wasn't going to stick around.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll have to take a look at that. That would be kind of cool, like you said, to kind of, because that's kind of what we did with Mastodon, right? Like, we have our PHP Architect Mastodon server that we're only, you know, giving out handles to people we're saying work for PHP Architect or have written for PHP Architect, which nobody has taken this up on, and which is completely understandable too. Like, if, you know, I wouldn't want to be dependent on being tied to my company's handle forever, right? I mean, you just don't know.
Yeah.
But if we could, you know, give out, I need to switch over to the PHP Arch account and see if it's like, I'm not going to click in there because I don't know what it exposes, but
yeah.
Yeah, that will be kind of cool. That's actually kind of cooler than I thought it was going to be. Yeah.
Lots to learn. Like you said, you just saw it and shared.
Yeah.
Oh, here, I'll move that over.
Please do that. I mean, I'm kind of hesitant talking about this because I get butt hurt very easily. And this would be another thing I'm a little butthurt on, but JetBrains has PHP Verse coming out on June 17th, which is a free virtual event you can attend.
4:30 to 10 a.m. Pacific time?
No.
Yes.
No, that's 1:30 Central, right?
Right. The 7:30 Eastern is 4:30 our time. So it's going to be 4:30 to 10 a.m. on the West Coast.
See, this is the thing about having a global audience. Like, there's never a good time that makes sense for everybody. Yeah, 11:30 UTC. Yeah. Anyways, it's going to be a virtual event. Lots of speakers, Laravel people, lots of Laravel, lots of Symfony. Oh, he spoke, they spoke at our tech last year, didn't they?
I can't see.
Gina Banyard?
To put me on the spot like that.
Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe they wrote for us. I know that if they didn't speak, they wrote for us for sure. But yeah, so that's that's something I forgot to mention. So if you're not aware, phptech.tv is the streaming site for the conferences. So if you attend the conference or if you buy a virtual pass, this is where you'd watch it. But more importantly, you also have access to all the previous years. So you can go back, you know, 2023, the previous years that we've been running it anyways. Go back to 2023 and look at any of these. Oh, and I forgot. I set that up to autoplay now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm still seeing your PHP Verse screen.
Oh, sorry about that. So anyways, this is the site you'd come to. You also have access to all the previous years. So you can go back, you know, 2023. God damn it.
So that's all we have to do.
Who coded this is an asshole.
We have to say something very clever, and then you just pull this up and just let it loop.
The only thing I wanted to point out, so as the conference is going on, this is where you'd go to watch the various rooms, and those rooms come up down here. So these are the first talks of the conference, and then you would watch whatever talk you want to watch. But thanks to some encouragement from John and my own OCD-ness, the times here should display in your local time zone if the JavaScript works as it's supposed to work. So obviously this is all in Chicago. So there's, you know, it starts at 9 a.m. Central Time here in the U.S., which is 7 a.m. Pacific Time, which is where I'm at now. But yeah, just meant to, as you're here, as you're looking, you kind of get a better idea of when things are actually playing, and you don't have to convert it in your head.
And I like our room names. What we don't have on, up top outside of the video, the bumper video that's not on here right now, is the theme of the conference this year is knock it out the park.
Yeah.
Knock it out of the park. I don't know, whatever.
This drives the man crazy.
So the room names are Wrigley Field, because we're in Chicago, and that's going to be the ballroom, the main room we're in. Petco Park, because we're from San Diego and wanted to name a room there. And then Rove stepped up and sponsored a room this year. So we gave them Rove Stadium, which, you know, they keep blowing up. Maybe one day they actually have their name on their own stadium and call it Rove Stadium.
Yeah, but we would have called it that first.
Yep.
So, yeah, we even got the little starting soon sponsor stuff on there now. Yeah, fun stuff. Really excited. Yeah, so when you're in a room, the current talk will show here, and then the next upcoming talk shows below it. So, again, you can kind of see, you know, what time that would be. Yeah, exciting stuff is happening. I can't believe we're so close. I gotta stop putting these countdown timers on these websites. Yeah, I know.
I'm getting a little agita just looking at it, like, ah!
What are we thinking? Yeah. So, yeah, fun stuff, man. Excited, very excited about all this. Throw that over there. This last thing I have on here, I kind of put on there because I thought it was funny. When recently John convinced me to switch back over to iPhone, and it didn't take a lot of convincing, honestly. It's just I didn't have a problem with the Pixel phone. I thought it was good, but I always said that, you know, if Google stopped making the Pixel phone, I'm not going back to a phone where the phone company can put all their crap software on there. I've gotten too spoiled with Pixel, and even a little bit before then, the iPhone I had. So when John asked, you know, mentioned switching over the iPhone, because he had switched over a couple of years now, right? Last year?
Yeah. No, it's been 2 to 3 years now, yeah.
Yeah.
It was after I started paragliding.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm like, yeah, I could probably switch. Like the gap I talk about a lot, like the gap between iPhone and Android is so small now. Like it's just very little differences. As a matter of fact, if anything, there are a few quirks in the iPhone that I can't get used to that drive me crazy, like being able to close all my apps with the touch one button, which the iPhone doesn't do. Pixel does. Like if you have a bunch of apps open, you can say close all open apps and it just closes them all. With the iPhone, you have to close each and individual app. It's infuriating. But for the most part, there's very little difference. But the problem I had at the time was I was also using Google Fi, which is Google's cell plan, which I liked a lot because it was very simple. I thought it was very affordable and there was no glitz, glamour. They didn't try to sell you on new services all the time. And I got an iPad that had cellular service, and I couldn't put that on Google Fi because Google Fi were just phones. So when I got my iPhone, I could put my iPhone on Google Fi, which I initially had done, and it worked fine. I mean, I thought, like reading up on it, I felt like I was going to miss out on something with the SMS messaging because it kept saying, you know, you have to do some configuration. I'm like, okay, but what am I losing because of that? And I didn't lose anything. It was just, for whatever reason, not your standard configuration for the iPhone. So I used it. Like I said, my iPad was on my personal cell plan that I have the rest of the family on. And I had already had it on that. So the fact that that was on a different cell plan was no big deal. The matter of fact, the thing that actually broke me and the reason I got off of Google Fi and the real reason why I was curious of trying the iPhone is because I wanted the watch. Like I'm a big watch person. And the Android watches were all meh. they're all right, but they didn't like feel right. Now, to be fair, Pixel did come out with the bigger watch face, and that was right at the time where I was talking about making the Switch. So I went ahead and made the Switch, and I did end up getting a Google Watch. I mean, Jesus, an Apple Watch. And this was like the real problem, right? Because the Apple Watch kind of pairs with your phone. And the Apple Watch I have, I can take calls on and stuff like that. But I couldn't do it when it was on Google Fi because the watch and the phone have to be on the same carrier to do it. And so eventually I took my Google phone off of Google Fi. I mean, I took my iPhone off Google Fi and put everything on the same service. This doesn't correct that, but I did find it interesting that you can now add your tablet to Google Fi. So if you have a Google Fi account and you have a iPad Air or an iPad Pro, you can now add it to your Google Fi. I'm like, okay, like, dude, get the watch on there and I'm switching because I freaking hate AT&T. I hate AT&T. If you're listening to AT&T, if you're listening to me, I hate you and your service. And I hope you guys burn. But I would switch back over to Google Fi and bring my whole family with me in a freaking heartbeat if I could just bring my stupid watch over. Yeah, this is kind of cool. So I don't know why. So again, I didn't understand why it was a problem to begin with. Like if it's a SIM card, it has to be an eSIM card for this to work. But everything's an eSIM card now. Like I couldn't even tell you the last time I had an actual SIM card. It's like if it's an eSIM card, like what does it matter? Like it's networking, right? Like it's not like I need a special network in my house to get my laptop to work, my macOS laptop. It's networking. Like if you can get network to the damn device, it works. Like why is this so difficult? So and especially if you already support the phone, like that has to be the more common.
Your phone.
Right?
Because it does data already, right? The phone does voice and data.
So I don't understand why the watch is still being excluded from this. But I am happy to see that they're finally coming around with the iPads. I gotta hope that the watch can't be too far behind. Like it's gotta be right there. I don't know. But yeah. Just my internal struggle with life.
I can't use the carrier I want.
Because I know. Well, and to be fair, I could switch carriers. There are a lot of carriers that you can use. So I had, for a brief time, used Mint, but the same deal. Only certain carriers you can add your phone to and your iPad to. Mint wasn't one of them. So there are others here in the U.S. Verizon was one, which I think, and T-Mobile, which is I was actually very on board with switching over to T-Mobile because we had used their devices at Tech for the previous couple of years. And I'm like, I'm pretty happy with this, but like, I talked to people, I think John was actually one of them who was just like, yeah, you know, it works fine. It's fine. It's just every now and then the service isn't as good. The coverage isn't as good. And I'm like,
but at the same time, I don't have an AT&T device where I've gone somewhere and it's had bad service, but T-Mobile's had good service. And I'm sure there are areas like that. It just happened to be, I was at a campground with my kids and I had no service, but all my friends that were there that had AT&T had service. And it doesn't help that on that camping trip, my wife locked herself out of the car and didn't know the code to punch in on the side. And somehow she got me when I happen to have the tiniest bit of cell service. So I'm trying to talk to her. I can't move away because I'll lose her. And because she's panicked and I'm panicked trying to get her in, I think I told her the right code a couple of times, but I'm so used to just punching it in. So I'm like, I believe it's this.
Yeah.
And she's like, I tried that. I'm like, so I didn't go back to it. And it turns out that one was right. Then I'm like, well, try this and try that. And it's like, man, she finally got in.
Yeah. Yeah. I, again, when I was in Google Fi, I think, so my, I was on Google Fi and the wife was on AT&T. And I think more times than not, I had coverage when they didn't. Like they would get, we'd get the spots where her coverage would be spotty, but mine would be pretty solid. I really liked Google's cell service. I mean, you know, it's the same, like so many of these services, they're all the same network. They're just, you know, they brand their own stuff. I don't know why some work and some don't, but yep, I don't know. I'm gonna throw away all my digital devices at some point and just be a gardener. Feeling that day coming very quickly.
Joe, I'm confused. You've been using Tabby for a while. Tabby, oh, Terminal. There's been Terminal discussion between Warp, iTerm 2, and Tabby.
Oh, I recently switched over to Ghosty.
and another one. Oh, so Duck Nizzle asked, what Terminal do you guys use? I was using Kitty on macOS, but now that Ghosty is available to everyone, I'm trying it.
Oh, so I got to be honest. I've been an iTerm user for a long time. I finally switched over to Kitty because I just like the iTerm. Like I just want to get rid of all the window dressing around it. I just wanted a clean black box to work with, and so I configured my Kitty to do that, which I was really happy with, And then recently, I made the shift over to Ghosty. So as it turns out, I actually continue to use both Kitty and Ghosty. And I'll explain to you why. I use tmux pretty much everywhere. And when you tmux, when you SSH to a machine and fire up tmux, you got this weird thing where you have to hit your lead key twice. And I'd gotten pretty accustomed to doing it, but I'm like, why do I do this? Why don't I use Kitty for any remote servers I need SSH to? That way I can just fire up tmux in those terminals and just, it'll just be like a normal terminal. And then Ghosty is my local terminal, like the system I'm working on, I'm using Ghosty. I didn't like Ghosty initially because I felt it was a little clumsy to customize. Kitty is too. For anybody who's used to GUIs, trying to customize Kitty and Ghosty is not what you're accustomed to. Fortunately, I'm not that person. So getting into config files and customizing my terminal, I was actually very comfortable with. But I just didn't like the syntax of Kitty and Ghosty, just didn't really feel good to me. But I finally got it set up to where I like it. So yeah, I'm a terminal geek, man. I love my terminals. Yeah, if you're ever curious, let me know. I'd love to share, you know, what it looks like. But it's here, let me see. I'll see. Can I share? Stop sharing. And then can I share apps, right? No, you can't share apps. Oh, yeah, you can share Windows. So where's Ghosty at? Where's Ghosty? I don't see Ghosty. Yeah, I don't know how this. I don't know. I got way too many Windows open, man. There's just too many Windows open. I can't find my terminals at all. Actually, I don't even see my terminals in here. That's weird. Chat? Storm's in here. That's in there. Oh, here's Kitty. So here's a Kitty share where, you know, so these are all remote servers that I work with. And then I have my tmux setting for each one. So it's not a tmux inside of tmux is kind of where I'm getting at. And you know, my Ghosty basically looks the same. It's just it's the same tmux setup. I don't know what Ghosty is. Is that Ghosty? What is that window? Oh, this is Ghosty. That's the podcast stuff. So yeah, I have my terminals in here. See, I've been working on tech TV, working on some other projects, but yeah, I have the podcast open for this one. So this is my local PHP Arch top dog computer. This is my local machine that I work on every day. So I don't have to do that weird TMUX inside of a TMUX thing, where like that top bar that you see is my TMUX bar. So there would be two of those. And for a while, I had like one on top and the remote servers would be at the bottom. But that didn't, it just bugged me. So yeah, it's the same experience. Like my TMUX configuration, I just push to all the servers I work on. So I have the same kind of key bindings and everything. I'm really happy with it.
Cool.
All right. I know John has got to get out of here. He's got some kids to make cry, and I've overshared.
That's my goal.
Yeah. So thanks everybody for hanging out with us. It's been a great time. Hope to see. Well, so what's the story for next week? Are we doing this next week?
Depends what time. I know you've got. Yeah, next week is good. I was thinking the week after.
Yeah, a week after. I don't know the week after.
Yeah, so my last regular season game is this Saturday. Then we start playoffs. So there's nothing scheduled next week. So it shouldn't be an issue.
Yet, nothing scheduled yet.
Well, I should be with where my team's at in the seeding. I shouldn't be playing next week. I should be playing the week after.
Okay. And then the week after is not the week of. So yeah, you're right. That does. Yeah, we might do it. I don't know. We'll see how that goes. We'll figure that out next week.
Yep.
And we'll just move on. Hey, what's the story with bowling? Is bowling done? You guys?
Bowling's done. We took the championship.
Hey, congratulations!
The championship series came down to, we won the first game, they won the second game, and then we squeaked out the third game. So
doesn't matter, it goes down as a win. So
yep. But then the president of the league scared me as I was turning it in. He said it was number of points, and they took, we still would have gotten it, never mind. I don't know what he was thinking.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks.
All right, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for making the show a little better by contributing to our chat. And if you're listening to the audio podcast, think about joining us sometime and hanging out with us. Until next week, bye.
Bye.
This has been PHP Podcast, the official podcast of PHP Architect, the industry's leading tech magazine and publisher focused on PHP and web development. Subscribe today at phparch.com to see what the leaders in the community and industry are talking about.